Amen and amen, because we can know that the power of God's love is real and alive today, because I guarantee we can all attest to that. So if you are here and awake, give me a mic check on amen, or say you can hear me to make sure that you can hear. We got a couple of them that's MIA. I guess Beth must have got tied up. Lily, she might have got sidetracked too, but that's okay. Y'all are here. Y'all ready to get fed. I can feel my voice cracking as always, but you know, I got my water here anyway, so Lisa's probably laughing at me, but hold on. Yeah. All right. So anyway, I'm glad that you're here, and y'all know it. It's Friday night, so you know, I welcome you here. Anya, if that's how you pronounce the name right, but you know, she's a new member with us, and I'm glad to see new faces here, because again, it's wonderful when we get new brothers and sisters in Christ to join this fellowship, because bottom line, that's what this is all about, fellowship. You know, we're not out for numbers. We don't care for a lot of numbers. That's not our main goal. That's not our factor. That's something I'm not focused on in this site. This site is focused more on fellowship in Jesus Christ more than anything else. So thank you, and I'm glad that you are here, and welcome. Well, folks, as I said to the men last night, welcome to the grand finale. Now, we know for real, you know, when what the Bible says, the grand finale in Revelation, you know, when all this will come to a climactic end. But I'm calling this the grand finale of the series of messages we've been covering within the last 4 weeks. And all of us are here tonight, and we're in this last part of these series of messages that I've been preaching. And y'all know the title, you know, What Christians Have. Well, it's part one, part two, part three, and this is going to be part four. And it is recorded, so in case you want to go back and listen to it. But, you know, this is going to be the last part of this message, you know, this series. Anyway, it's not the last of the messages now, don't get me wrong. But I hope that if you've been like me, when hearing these messages, and yes, I'm listening to myself while I'm preaching to you, and yes, believe it or not, I do re-listen to my own messages. But if you've been hearing these messages and it's been giving way to thoughts on many things to reflect of what I have been mentioning in all these messages. So, you know, a lot of times when you're listening to a message, you know, and if you are like me, I like to look for the bread and butter in the messages, or the meat. And then I do listen, and I make notes, you know, and I reflect on that. I'm one like, okay, what does that mean? That's real interesting, you know. So, you know, it causes me to reflect, and I do that a lot. And personally, to me, because of these messages, as of late, you know, and part three and part two, and especially when writing this one thing has been coming to my mind a lot as of late. And I've been talking to many of you here in the room. I've been talking to many on Skype, which I do. I got many on Facebook I talk to. Many I talk to in real life. But when putting these messages together, my mind really has been focused really lately on hindrance. You know, I've been thinking about that, and that word's been coming over and over and over into my mind, hindrance. And I've been thinking how that word hindrance or hindering really interferes in what you and I have in Jesus Christ. How much damage it can do in our relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, how it can sidetrack you, how it can really cause you, you know, to get off track. I mean, how it can interfere with your walk with the Lord. So, you know, it's been so strong on me, and as always, when I start thinking, whenever something keeps coming to my heart, okay, I'll start thinking, well, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? So sometimes, you know, it might be chastisement. You know, he's trying to tell me, hey, you're doing something you need to correct. Sometimes I'm dabbling and doing things, you know, that needs to be correct. Sometimes when he starts doing this to me, I feel led. Okay, well, what? You want me to start on this in a message. So what I'm going to do after this message here, I don't know if it's going to be next week or not, but, you know, I don't like to rush things. But most likely, it's going to be a message on hindering or hindrance. You know, what is hindering your walk with the Lord? What can cause the hindrance in your relationship with the Lord? So and so on and so on. So I'm going to work on a message for that. I'm going to do some deep meditation on it and see which direction the Holy Spirit leads to. Because like I said, folks, hindrance in your relationship with God can cause you a lot of issues. And I've been talking to a lot of people by doing, you know, self-deep examination. You know, we need to be honest with ourselves and ask the hard questions in our lives, or as the new thing I come up with, and I steal it from Chris, but it's the brass tacks question. You know, be honest with your questions and challenge yourself to see if you are doing what you're claiming to do. And this is what these messages has been all about. So when we really have here, and when we really ask those real hardcore brass tacks questions, when we say that we are Christians, what do we really say to ourselves? And what do we really say to others when we say we have Jesus, or when we say I am a Christian? What do you really mean about that? And are you 100% bona fide true? I can't remember where, I think it was said here in the chat, you know, I think Lily was the one that said it, you know, talking about she wished stoning was still done today. And I kind of typed in real quick, and Chris typed in, no, you don't. Because, you know, stoning was really done today like it was back in the old days. None of us would be sitting here right now listening to this message. It's just that simple. But that's why, you know, we need to examine our hearts. We need to look at these real questions, and we need to ask ourselves these questions to be upfront and honest, so that way we can start thinking about the seriousness of the relationship with Jesus Christ. Because that's why I've been led into these messages, because lately, in this day and age, people are making claims to be a Christian, but they're not serious about it. People make claims to follow Jesus Christ, but they're not serious in doing it. They're not willing to give up some things in their lives. They're willing to hang on to certain things. Well, folks, you're hindering your relationship with the Lord. And I think that's why the Lord's leading me in that direction, because there are people out there doing so much things, quite frankly, it's disgusting. It really is. I stumbled across something the other day. I don't know how I accidentally did it in Google. But it was looking at some other sites, and I saw sites such as the LGBT Christian community. Say what? There is no such thing as a LGBT Christian community. Another one I saw was the gay community, the gay Christian community. No. Another one, you know, I saw was, well, we love Satan, but we want Jesus too. Well, I'm sorry, but that's not Christ-like. But they claim to be Christians. Folks, I'm sorry. You know, those of you who knows me, I don't sugarcoat stuff. I preach it as it is. I call it as it is. An apple is an apple, an orange is an orange, a peach is a peach. Someone made fun of me this morning, and I kind of picked it. I said, no, the apple's just disguising themselves as an orange. Or peach, I can't remember what I said. No, folks. Being a Christian means to be a follower of Christ, and that means to forsake all. That's what it means. So let me do say this, you know, in all these messages. We are blessed to have Jesus, and this is really important to us. Why? Think about that. We are blessed to have Jesus, and this is very important to us. Why? Well, if you think about this, if anyone remembers, I don't know how many of you might have seen this movie, it's an animated movie, but if any of you remembers in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, I love that show, that movie. It's animated, but it has a real good hardcore meaning to it. But if you remember in Pilgrim's Progress, we met a man who was carrying a heavy backpack, a burden on his shoulders. He couldn't get rid of it until he came to Mount Calvary, and he saw him who died on the cross to take away all our sins. And as Pilgrim knelt there, notice what happened to him when he did that. He was transformed by grace. The burden suddenly loosened, fell from his back, rolled down the hill, and disappeared into the empty tomb, and he never saw it again. He was free. And those of you who are going to listen to this message, and I'm preaching to some of you maybe tonight, if you're carrying around emotional baggage, damaged emotions, hurtful memories, unresolved shame, let me tell you something right now. You will find blessed freedom at the foot of the cross. You find blessed freedom at the foot of the cross. And when you are justified, you have peace with God, access to grace, assurance of heaven, redemption from suffering, the Holy Spirit and His love, freedom from the coming day of wrath. And you have Jesus Christ Himself. Hallelujah, my friends. Hallelujah. This is what we have, folks, when we have Jesus. Lisa's going to post the reading scripture for you, but if you got your Bibles and you'd like to turn your Bible, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. And look what it says. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, we ask of you to search our hearts and our minds. And Father, if there's anything that we have not confessed to you today, because each day needs to be a daily sacrificial sacrifice. Each day we must put that flesh to death at the cross. Each day we must be willing to die to oneself. Father, we ask of you right now to bless those who are here tonight. The others that don't show up, I don't know what's going on with them. But just deal with them and take care of them and just let them know that, hey, you love them no matter what. Father, I ask of you to anoint all those who are here tonight, you know, and lift them up, guide them, help them, show them the way. Let them know that you love them. Because, Father, we love you with all our hearts. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for what you have given us, life. And that's precious. And I'm glad that you gave it to me. When I realized I was lost and had a one-way ticket downstairs, you gave me another stairs to take, and it took me upstairs. And I thank you for that. Thank you for your love, your kindness, and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And as I said, my friends, the title of this message again, which y'all know, What Christians Have, Part 4. Now, if you notice in our reading passage, if you was to back up in that chapter and read more in the chapter, you will find out what we really do have in Christ. You know, I always try to encourage you, you know, because see, a lot of people, a lot of times, loves to take a certain passage and horn in just on that passage only and try to make it into something which they think is right. And I always teach people in classes at church or even online, which I've been doing with the men, you need to understand one thing when studying scriptures. Content. Content, content, content. You need to understand the full content of what's being said, not just in one passage, probably about 10 or 15 before and maybe 10 or 15 afterwards. You need to look at the who, what, whys, when, and where. Don't ever horn in just on one passage and try to go beat someone up on it. You're taking the content out of content. I know it sounds like gibberish, but that's what it means. You need to fully understand what the scriptures are really saying. And this is why when you read this passage, that's why I encourage you to read, you know, later on tonight, write it down, whatever. Later on tonight, read that entire passage. And you're going to see what you really have in Jesus Christ. At one point in our lives, if you think about it, and you heard me mention this a few times, that all of us was dead at one point because of Adam's sin. The entire human race, bottom line, was spiritually dead because of Adam's sin. Now, you notice I'm not blaming the woman, because you can't. It was not the woman's fault that sin came into play. Adam was the head. He should have known better. He should have took care of Eve. He should have watched over everything. No one knows what he was really doing at the time when she drifted off somewhere, but see, he was the one that was at fault. He's the one that should have known better. He's the one that should have watched out for her. Period. But because of his sin, mankind fell. And all of us were spiritually dead at one point. See, only God, my friends, can grant us new life and save us from this predicament. Out of his mercy, God gave his son for us while yet we were his enemies and sinners. He loved us long, long, long before we even loved him. In addition to making us spiritually alive in him, he determined that we would sit in heavenly places with our Savior, Jesus Christ, in the ages to come. God desires to demonstrate his kindness throughout eternity through Christ Jesus, his Son. And this has nothing to do with our own merit. Nothing. This has nothing to do on our own part. Period. You see, friends, it's only because of him, he is merciful and kind, that he reached out to save us. He reached out to save us. And adding to this, of what we have, is that Christians have been saved by grace. The grace of God is the source of salvation. Faith is the channel and not the cause. God alone, my friends, saves. Salvation never originates in the efforts of people. You can try all you want. You can be good all you want. You can be nice to the dog. You can do all these wonderful things. You can be nice to everybody that you meet. You can do all the good works you can. But that is not going to save you. And people out there preach work-based salvation. How horrible. That's why I said God himself alone is the one that saves. Salvation, again, never originates in the efforts of us. It's always arising out of the loving kindness of God's Holy Spirit. So how do we know this? And I always bring you to scriptures to back up what I'm saying. Well, according to Jonah, chapter 2, verse 9 says this. And look what it says. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Now, have you ever asked yourself this question? I have a lot. Is it really worth it to follow Jesus Christ? Is it really worth it to follow Jesus Christ? Think about it. Have you ever compared to what you get with those in the world get? Have you ever compared to what you get with those in the world get? I have. See, you look around and you see people devoting their lives to pleasures of this world. You can't help it. You look around and you see them with all these things, and they seem to be having a pretty good time. They live well. They look like they got plenty of money. They take nice vacations. They drive new cars. They have all sorts of expensive toys. And you look at them and you think, if I were not a Christian, I could have some of those things. If I were not a Christian, I can have some of those things. I'm not saying that you did or you didn't. I've done it a few times. I'm man enough to admit to you I have. But let me tell you something, folks. And this is me speaking. When I thought those thoughts, and I always thought sometimes like this, well, if I had what they had, if I was not a Christian, then I wouldn't have to give a large portion of my income back to the Lord's work. I can have my weekends to pursue and do whatever I wanted to do. I've done that. But now ask yourself this. And I just asked you a little bit earlier. Is it really worth it to follow Christ? Is it? And if you're not asked these questions, it may say something of your Christian commitment. Namely, that you are not sacrificing much to follow Christ. And again, y'all know me. I don't sugarcoat stuff. And I was looking for an illustration to bring into this. And I was reading around, you know, different stories. And I came across a story from a guy named George Barna, B-A-R-N-A. And this shocked me when I read it. I just looked at it and like, wow, really? But George Barna, he did a survey of 152 separate items comparing the lost world to the churches. And you know what he said? He said that there is virtually no difference between the two as to how we live. Let that sink in. Wow. He was comparing the lost world with the churches of 152 separate items. I'm going to look for that later on, what the items was about. But he came to the conclusion of doing the survey, there's virtually no difference between the church and the world. That's a shocker to me. Just like Billy Graham said, 80% of the churches are lost. 80%. I bet that figure's gone up since then. Especially what we're seeing today. This is why I think we as Christians are not taking what we have very seriously. Friends, Christ calls us to be his followers, and he calls us to turn away from sins and the pursuit of things in this world. That's what he calls you and I to do. Turn away. Turn away. We know plenty of parables we read when he told them, follow me. And we saw many made excuses. They were not willing to give up everything to follow him. Are you? See, we're not taking him seriously. See, he calls us to turn away from all these things of the world, the sins. More so, look what he said in Luke chapter 14, verse 33. And this is hard. He says, so therefore, any one of you who does not renounce, look what he says, renounce all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Ouch. That's serious. Jesus ain't playing around. We know some sayings I used to watch, I forgot the name of the show, but homie don't play that. Folks, Jesus is not playing around. He told them, and he's telling us right now, any one of us who does not renounce all that he has, we cannot be his disciple. That's serious. And you better think hard on this one, too. You see, what we see here, folks, we see that Jesus urged the people to think about what it would mean to follow him and not to take it lightly. We're not to take following Jesus lightly. We need to take it seriously. And I'm going to go even further with this. Look more what the Word of God says about this subject. Look what 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says about that. John's coming behind that and being very serious with it too. John's not playing around. Look what he tells us. Do not love the world or the things in the world. And he comes right back with that punchline, folks. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Folks, that's not me saying this. That's the Word of God. Jesus was serious. John was just following up right behind that, telling us basically the same thing. If you love the things of the world, then the love of the Father is not in you. Are you still hanging on to the things of the world, dabbling with things of the world? If you are, my friends, you better re-examine that section. You see, folks, what John is telling us flat out, those of us who have Christ are not to be anything like the world. Yes, we are in the world, but we're not to be of the world. And that's very clear in the Bible, too. But here in this passage, John's readers, what they were doing, they were acting in a way that was inconsistent with their relationship with Christ. You know some Christians like that now? I do. Oh, they talk a good talk. They walk a good walk. But their fruits and their actions are far from it. Oh, they get convicted very easily. Oh, they don't like it when you tell them the truth. They don't like it. But that's the truth. You see, folks, what John's really trying to illustrate to us, and he's trying to warn us that the world here is morally evil. Its evil system opposes all that God is, sounds familiar, and holds dear to. Looks familiar with things we see on television now, things we're hearing about on the internet now, things we're hearing about on the news now. You see, friends, in this sense, in this passage, what he's telling us, the world is the satanic system opposing Jesus Christ's kingdom on this earth. That's what we mean by Antichrist. They oppose what Jesus has to offer. They oppose the truth. That's hard for some people to even swallow. They can't stand to hear that truth. And because of what we have as Christians, we also should not be acting in any manner, shape, or form like the world itself. We shouldn't. You want to see how some real Christians act? Sit on Facebook for a while and watch what they post. The things they say. I shake my head like, oh my goodness. Really? I had one of my friends today, she claimed she was a Christian, and she posted a couple of things with the F-bomb in it. Oh my Lord. Unfriend. 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 My list is dwindling, friends. My list on Facebook is growing shorter day by day. You see, friends, because what we have as Christians, we also should not be acting like the world. Yes, we are in the world, but we should not be part of the world. And these verses I just spoke to you, and many others like them written in the Holy Words, were not written as options for the super committed. They were not options for us. In fact, they are commandments. They are requirements for all who follow Jesus Christ. But even those of us who seek to follow him will face times in their lives, and they will probably say, well, I wonder, am I making a mistake to give up all to follow Christ? Yeah, we're tempted with those thoughts at times. We are. I am. But here Jesus plainly lays out the cost of following him, the blessings that follow, the difficulties we will encounter in the process while walking with him. This is what we have as Christians. So to rehash all these series, to pull everything back together to get to that climactic end, in our last three messages, I pointed out six things so far what we have as Christians. The first thing, which was most important, was Jesus. The second was the Holy Spirit. The third was redemption. The fourth was eternal life. The fifth was an advocate. The sixth was a high priest. And the last two items, I'm wrapping this up, the seventh thing that we have as a Christians, and I love this so much, my friends, precious faith. We have precious faith. Look what 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says about that. Peter has something to say about it. And look what he says in that passage right there. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal now standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are equals. We are equal standing with him. We've been engrafted into him. We are co-heirs with him. Do you get this? Folks, precious faith needs to be looked at it this way. That's how it needs to be looked at. It's wonderful, beautiful. We should cherish it. Cherish it so much that we should love it no matter what we encounter. And anyone who has faith in Jesus has the same access to God as any other believer. We're not different from one another. We're all the same. And this access is the second great resource that us as born-again believers possess. It was obtained when they were given the gift of righteousness, in other words, justification. And in that passage that we just read, we were justified. And if you dig deeper and you look further into this passage, the righteous believers are given the righteousness of Christ himself. And when you see our God and Savior Jesus Christ, folks, let me tell you what this means. That this title of Jesus also reflects the great confession in John chapter 6, verse 69. it echoes into that passage right there. When we've been given that righteousness, that's what it really echoes, the great confession here in this passage. Look what it says. How wonderful. When he says this, and when have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. My friend, John wrote this so that people might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. This is what we have as Christians, precious faith. Folks, you look at that passage carefully, bottom line, this is what salvation is all about. This is what salvation is all about. And now the eighth thing that we have as Christian, and I love this one. I love them all. But the eighth item that we have as Christian is, and I just hit on it, access to God. Or better words, we got direct access to God. You never get a business signal. You never lose your internet connections. You get 5 bars on your cell phone all the time. You got direct access to him. Why? Well, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 says this. And it's wonderful. Look what it's saying. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. We have access through one spirit to the Father. And what this tells you and I, and this is wonderful. We are no longer strangers. We're no longer foreigners to God. Not no more. We were at one time, but not no more. And the reason why? Because of what we have in Jesus Christ. Because what we have in Jesus Christ, we now have direct access to God Himself. And the reason why we have this access to God is Jesus was the only one who passed through the heavens to the very presence of God, where he now sits down at the right hand of God. He's right there. Because he's in us, we are in him, we have direct access to God right there. No sinner, my friends, has any right or worthiness in himself for access to God. But believers have been granted that right through faith in Christ's sacrificial death. That's why we've been granted that right, through his sacrificial death. That's the only way. And the resources of the Trinity belongs to the believers the moment they had received Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit presents them before the heavenly throne of God the Father, where they are welcome to come to him with boldness anytime. And the scriptures tells us this, come to the throne with boldness. When you pray with boldness, because you know you got direct access through God. And friends, this is what we have as Christians. And I hope that you have taken these 8 items that we addressed in the last several weeks. I hope that you really listen to these messages. I hope that you fully understand what you have. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. Now that we have Jesus Christ, now that we understand what we have, we need to understand his goodness by his grace. God changes our standing, so to speak, and that's what he does. He changes us from one form to another, one mode to another. But God himself changes our standing and our position in Christ. Before him, when we placed our trust in Christ for forgiveness of our sins, and as we read in our reading passage in Ephesians 2:7, again, it affirms that a new status flows out of that wonderful phrase, the riches of God's grace. The riches of God's grace. Wow. Folks, I believe that nothing more. Let me back this up. I honestly believe that nothing is more foundational to the Christian life than for the believers to understand his or her position in Christ Jesus. Our position in Christ, because we have asked him into our light, has granted us legal standing with God. Are we guilty? Not guilty. Debtors or free? Enemies or friends? But you must understand one thing. Understanding our position in Christ makes a difference in how we live a sacrificial life day in and day out. When you understand your position in Christ, then you understand the sacrificial daily living that we must do. And knowing what we have and knowing our position in the Lord, we should look at these verses very carefully that we just talked about in the last several weeks. We need to look at this position very carefully to understand how serious we should be. We need to look at these positions in Christ to know our standing with him. Because we're not doing it. We're not doing it because, see, again, I personally believe many are running to hide in the closets. Look what's happening, and we're not doing nothing about it. We're not sounding alarm. We're not going out. We're not trying to witness to anybody. We love to hide behind our doors. Oh, we go to church, yeah, we put on a good show over there, but what about afterwards? What are you doing? So I want you to understand five things about your position in Christ, friends. And those of you listening, some have left. I don't know why. Maybe they were convicted. Who knows? But five things about our position in Christ is this. First one is, our position in Christ is a result of our new life in Christ from which precious experiences may grow. For example, as I said earlier, justification, meaning all of our past sins has been covered. And that alone leads to joy, peace, and happiness. Part of the fruits of the Spirit. And if you're not experiencing any of that, then you need to find out why. The second position in Christ is that the Christian position is as perfect and complete the instant it is possessed as it ever will be in the ages to come. The moment you receive the Holy Spirit, you've been made complete in him. Perfect through him and him only. We are not perfect on our own, only because of him, Jesus Christ himself. Third position in Christ is that this position has nothing to do with what you and I has accomplished or earned. It's based solely on the merit of Christ. The Christian is accepted now and forever in the Beloved. The fourth position, that this position does not ever change. Our awareness and feelings about our position in Christ Jesus may vary from day to day. Yeah, we get those little ups and downs. But the abiding fact that we are a new creation in Christ remains. And our fifth position in Christ can only be known through God revealing it to us through his Holy Spirit. And the reality, or its reality, can be grasped only by believing the Word of God. And these eternal riches of grace are for anyone who will believe. It's for anyone who believes. Believe and receive. Very simple. And if you've been with me throughout this journey, if you've been tracking with me, you have figured out that although there are many blessings in this life, when we forsake all to follow Jesus, and the real payoff is eternity. Eternity. Because of Jesus, he doesn't just point the way to happiness. He leads the way. And through his atonement, he leads us to love. Through his teachings, he leads us to eternal truth. Through his perfect life, he leads us to the path of obedience. And the greatest example who ever walked the earth is our Savior, Jesus Christ. His mortal ministry was filled with teaching, serving, and loving others. The Savior himself invites us to follow his perfect example. Jesus himself, friends, invites us to follow his perfect example. And when we understand that the Savior makes possible repentance and resurrection, teaches with vital truth, offers hope and peace, and sets the perfect example, well, then he becomes the center of our lives. He is the focal point. And with him as our friend, we have the courage to cast out fear and move forward with faith. We have not been given the spirit of fear. We've been given the Holy Spirit. And last but not least, to leave you with this. Because of all that I have said, because of all that was laid upon my heart to preach to you, and I encourage you, and if you don't get it, if you like to take notes, do what I do. That's why I re-listen to my messages, and sometimes I like to take notes. But because all that's been said, you and I need to think more seriously in a way that when Jesus says to you and I, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." Because of him saying that, because when we read that, then our response should be, our response to him should be saying this. And I've been saying this a lot lately. "Okay, Lord, whatever you say, I will do for you. Whatever you say, I will do for you." Friends, Jesus chose us as his friend. He died for us as his friend, or our friend, sorry. He died for us as our friend. He caused us to trust him as our friend. And he will remain our friend for the endless ages to come. That's why I like that song again still. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have. Moment by moment, now and forever, in Jesus. This is what it means to be a Christian. This is what we have as a Christian. God bless you. And may the Lord be with you. Let's pray.